On this episode, we are going to talk about moms of college students or young adults living at home. We're going to spend some time this month dedicated to moms. And this episode specifically is about moms of young adults, really moms of college students home for the summer, because May is also the time of that. And really because transitions in general are difficult for most of us. There's a whole other episode on that that you can listen to. But really, what transitions do is they sort of force us, whether we know it or not, to look internally at what are our expectations, what are our hopes, what are our sort of visions for things, and what are we letting go of in order to get all of those things. So May is a huge transitional month for people who have adult children in their home. And so we're going to talk about that today. Welcome to I Wonder, Getting Curious with Dr. Christy Roots King. Ever feel lost in life's maze? Do you wonder how to heal from the past or raise awesome kids or build rock solid relationships? Well, I'm Dr. Christy. I'm a licensed trauma therapist and a former educator, and I am here to help you navigate these questions and more on I Wonder. Maybe you're dealing with past trauma. Maybe you're navigating a divorce or considering a career switch, or simply parenting a sensitive child. Whatever it is, you are not alone. So join me and let's get curious together. Let's start with a little story, as I always like to do, about my own college kid and the transitions that we had to go through. So my oldest is about to finish their junior year and, you know, embark on senior summer, the summer before your senior year of college, where you are, you know, starting to get a little bit stressed and anxious about what your future holds for you. So I am gearing up for an emotionally challenging summertime here. We weren't sure she was even going to be home. You know, she applied to a bunch of different things all over the country to try to do. And as it turns out, ends up, you know, wants the best place for her to be was here. So she will be home. But I don't really want to talk about that. I want to talk about the summer after freshman year, when she had a great freshman year. I think as all college students, and maybe we don't all admit this, but as all college students, it was a tough year also, because, you know, you're far away from home and you're learning how to be an adult and all of those things. And she came home and I thought I was really well prepared. Look, I work with adolescents and teenagers. I work with their parents. I sort of understand the nuance of, you know, back under your roof after a year of being away. I thought I was prepared for all of the things that come with that. And I was not. As is always the case, I think, with, you know, what is that saying about the cobbler's kids having no shoes? Like, as always the case, there's a reason why we're not allowed to treat our family members, because what I do for a living doesn't always translate to, you know, the best parenting decisions in my own home. So I wasn't prepared, partially because I didn't know how she was going to be. And I also didn't fully understand how I was going to be. So let me give you an example. One of the things that I thought I was prepared for was this idea that, look, she's an adult. She does her own thing at college. She's going to do her own thing here. Here are my boundaries. You know, you live here. Here are the boundaries for living here. And we'll get to that in a minute. And so I'm going to be fine because she's clear on that. I'm clear on that. She's respectful of that, all of those things. And then about 2 or 3 weeks in, I noticed I wasn't sleeping very well. And I was checking my phone more than normal. And I was, you know, wondering where she was and texting at, you know, 12:30 in the morning, all of those things. And I really didn't expect that I would be that way. I had gotten used to, I was that way when she first went to school. I was sort of like checking the Find My Phone app to see, you know, was she back in her dorm? Was she all of those things for about a month and a half. And then I kind of got used to her not being around. And I realized it wasn't doing anybody any good for me, like checking to see where she was and all of that. So I didn't expect that come summer, I would feel that way again. She was under my own roof. I thought, oh, I'll be fine. But really what I was getting used to physically, my body was again getting used to this idea that there is somebody under my roof that I care about and they are not home by the time I go to bed. And that hadn't happened much in her life in general because of COVID. So when she got to the age where she would have been out all night partying or whatever, she couldn't go anywhere. And so then she went to college and I didn't really have to get used to it because she was away. So having her back in my house and getting myself ready for bed and her just not being home was a thing my nervous system had to get used to. I was not prepared for it. I didn't handle it well. Intellectually, I thought I was going to be fine, but physically I was not fine. So, you know, it took a little bit of time. It took a little bit of conversation with her. Not that she needed to check in or do any of those things. That was my problem, not hers. Again, we'll get to that later. But I did ask, you know, hey, I think I need to like know a rough time of when you'll be home. You know, a rough, like, what are you thinking or where are you thinking you might be? So that I could just tell my brain, like, you know where she is, it's fine. While you're here in this house. She was fine with that. Again, it wasn't intrusive. It wasn't me checking up on her. I made it very clear this was my problem and not hers. And she was very kind in complying with what I needed to feel a little bit better. And then just like when she left for school after some time, I also kind of got used to it again too. But I tell you that story to tell you, like, there's a transition. Even if you think you know what it's like now, okay, my kid's been in school for a whole year. I know what it's like. You don't know what it's like to have them back, and they don't know what it's like to have them back. And so I want to talk a little bit about what it might be like. And again, I don't know your kids. I don't know you. I don't know your relationships, but I do know, generally speaking, where they are in a sort of developmental way. And I can also tell you what happened in my own home. I'm about to do it again for the second time. So my middle one is just finishing freshman year. So I'm about to do it again and we'll see. Very different kids. So it's probably going to be a very different experience. When I first was trying to kind of go back and forth with my oldest, I realized I had heard this story before. And it reminded me of, you know, another person in my life going through a similar thing and having to try to figure out, okay, how do I navigate their independence without A, being completely anxious all the time, or B, kind of crushing their independence or their spirit or whatever. Because I think a thing we can fall into is we think maybe we can reestablish the same rules we had before they left, or we think we're going to put a whole new bunch of rules on them because they're back under our roof. You hear that a lot. Well, they're under my roof. They're in my house. I pay the mortgage. All of those things that somehow translates in some of our brains to, okay, then I'm completely in control of this person. And that's not how it works. It just isn't. And if you want it to be that way, okay. But I think you're risking the relationship with your adult child at this point. If you think, oh, you're back under my roof, so I get to tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it all the time because I pay for this house. Well, first of all, you probably shouldn't be listening to this podcast because that's not how I work things at all. And I don't recommend working them that way. But also, I think if you are having those thoughts, a couple things. One, examine what are your expectations for your relationship with this person going forward? Because if you want a relationship with this person going forward, that is not the way to get it. But also two, I would examine why do you think you're feeling this way? What is that need to control? Again, I was super anxious and not sleeping. And so it would be completely understandable if I said, well, this can't happen. She's got to be home by this time. And I have to know exactly where she is at all times. That would be an understandable reaction. It wouldn't have gone over very well. And it wouldn't have ultimately given me what I wanted, which is a trusting and open relationship with my kid. So instead, I thought I had to figure out for myself what is going to help me to feel better in this situation. It isn't actually controlling everything and making sure she never goes anywhere. It's got to be some balance of both because I wasn't willing to sacrifice the relationship for that control. And so I had to examine what do I need to feel more calm in this situation? So one of the very first things I would recommend for everybody, if it's not too late, they might already be home, but it's not too late, even if they are home, is that you really take a moment with yourself to figure out what do I need to feel okay this summer? And to preserve our relationship, because you might need to control everything to feel better, but that is not going to preserve your relationship. Keep in mind when you're deciding these things, this is an adult person who's coming back into your house. They're not fully formed. Their brain's not done until they're 25. I know all of the things, but they have now been away and had some freedom and made their own decisions and stayed out as late as they want and eaten what they want and eaten when they want. They've done all those things. So you can do whatever you want, but I wouldn't recommend that you treat them like the child that left one summer ago. Instead, what do you need to feel safe and okay? And how can you do it in a way that preserves their newly formed adult independence? And here's another thing they've done all year. They've learned to get along with a roommate. They've understood how to meet deadlines. They've been responsible for things. They know how to take care of themselves in many ways. So you also don't have to go back to treating them the way that you treated them when they were children in your home. And they need to know that too. I'm saying this because if you want to go back to the way things were, or they want to go back to the way things were, that's not how it's going to happen. However, if you want to do some things the same, then you just have to have a conversation with them. That goes to our second point. So if you know what you need, the very second point is set very clear boundaries, not rules. Again, the rules, and I know I'm going to get a lot of pushback on this because people think I'm the parent, I make the rules, I pay the mortgage, I make the rules. I'm asking you to look at those as boundaries. I am the parent, I pay the mortgage, I get to decide how I want to be treated in my own home. That's different than I pay the mortgage, I own the house, I get to tell you what to do. Those are very different things. So for instance, I will give you an example. I have a propensity, so I love to cook. I love to cook, and I also feel like a personal mission of mine has always been to nourish the people I love through food. And so I found myself, well, when my oldest came home, there were still two here that I was taking care of. So we still had family dinner most nights, and I was cooking and I was planning the meals and I was doing all the things. This past holiday break, when I had two home from college, well, my husband and I and the remaining child had gotten kind of used to like the three of us just kind of doing our thing. And we still had family dinner a lot of times around the table, but it was often like tuna fish sandwiches or something that we could throw together right away. My youngest knows a lot more about how to take care of himself and prepare his own food, or DoorDash his own food, if I'm being honest, than my oldest ever did, because I was cooking for more people then. So this holiday time, when they were home for an extended period of time, I had to readjust, like, oh, wait, I don't have to go. I went out the first time and bought all enough food to feed five people for 15 days or whatever they were home for. I bought, you know, I went to Costco. I acted like it was 2022 and just bought all the food and got everything in and, you know, was all ready for meals every single night, went back to planning, had my calendar on the thing, all of it. And then the two adult children weren't around a lot. They were working. One was at their girlfriend's house. One had dinner with friends. One went away for a couple of days in the middle of it. I was like, oh, I can't just return to what I knew before because it's not the same now. And so this summer, I have in my brain prepared differently. I definitely had my very first instinct was like, oh, they're going to be home soon. Let me go out and go do all the shopping. And then I realized, wait a minute. Let me talk to them. Let me figure out what I need. I would love if they could give me a full schedule for the summer, but their jobs are such that they don't always know exactly when they're going to be in and when they're going to be out, but they usually know about a week in advance. So I thought, okay, I'm going to ask them to let me know, when are you working? When are you home for dinner? When are you home? The other meals, they're on their own, but dinner is still a thing that I pay attention to and cook if I need to. And also, I would love if they took a night and somebody was in charge on Mondays or somebody was in charge on Wednesdays or whenever I know I work late, I would love if I could say to one of the two adults, hey, you're on dinner tonight. Be kind of great. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'll keep you posted. But that is something that I came up with when I thought, oh, what do I need to be able to manage this thing? And the other part of that is the boundary of, please let me know your plans so that I can plan accordingly, including like, if you want to never tell me what you're doing for dinner, fine, but don't expect that I'm ever going to take care of your dinner. Honestly, those are fine with me. If you say to me like, I can't be bothered trying to figure out where I am every night, or I can't feel beholden to you, mom, because some late plans just came up and I don't want to. Okay, great. But then don't tell me you're going to be there. Give me a heads up from the very beginning. Like, don't worry about me for dinner. I'll take care of myself. That's great. Fine. I don't care. I don't suspect that's going to happen because my kids, A, don't have enough money to do that. And B, really, I think, enjoy having me cook for them. But I also know, because we've established this sort of from the beginning with them, like, they're going to be okay with whatever our sort of house boundaries are when they're home for the summer, because they're not suffocating rules and they have input. You know, if my kids are working, like, I'm not going to make them not work so that they can come home and have family dinner or not even go out with their friends. Like, if they have plans with their friends, okay, they have plans with their friends. That said, I have some non-negotiables too. Mother's Day, since we're talking about May, Mother's Day, I wanted family pictures. And so I've told them way ahead of time, hey, this is the date and time. Please, you know, do what you need to do to be there. And they've obviously agreed to that. They're good kids. They take good care of me. So, but that's all part of like, what do I need to feel okay? And how do I communicate that in a way that preserves our relationship? Again, I'm also not, you know, making them wear a certain thing or making them go do this first or making them, you know, I'm just saying like, please show up at this time and get your picture taken. And my bar is pretty low for that. So part of this whole process. So I tune in to find out, okay, what do I need? I talk to my husband about what do we need to feel okay in the house? So then translate that into what are the boundaries? What are the things we're going to tell them we need to have happen? I've heard some wonderful things, like my own mother-in-law at one point, I can't remember if my husband was living with her or not, or if it was just the younger siblings, but she had like a checklist with their names that she would just leave a pad on the kitchen table and they had to check it off when they came in, whatever that was when they came in, because she was, you know, known to maybe wake up in the middle of the night, as you do as a woman of a certain age. And it made her be able to go back to sleep if she could walk out and see that pad checked off, you know, at 4 a.m. or whatever. Or, you know, I think, I don't know if there was a time where she would then, you know, speak to them the next day about like, where the heck were you at 4:30 a.m. or whatever. I don't know. I don't know the follow up to that story. I just thought it was always cute that she had this checkoff list pad for them to be able to say, we're home, we're home, we're home. So if she was up in the middle of the night, or more likely she was up to go to work in the morning and they weren't, and she just wanted to make sure they were somewhere in the house at that time. So there's creative ways to enforce your boundaries or to create the boundaries for everybody's benefit. And, you know, a lot of people use location services. That's their thing. Like if you have Life360 or if you have location services on your phone and you have an agreement that you keep them on, then great. That works for you. You know, we could do a whole podcast episode on location services and parenting, but that's not for today. So, but just knowing, okay, I know where they are. I can check to see sort of their general whereabouts and then I can go to bed. If that works for you and they know that that's what you're doing with it and you're not sort of stalking them or tracking them or pinging them whenever you see them somewhere they're not supposed to be, then that's a great tool to use. You know, for my mother-in-law, it was a checklist. For me, I just need to have an idea of where they are that night. If they're at a concert, if they're out with friends, if they're whatever, are you planning on, you know, driving to Atlantic City, or are you planning on just staying at their house? Are you planning on going to the beach or whatever? So some concept of where they are in the world. And then sometimes I do check the location, not to sort of catch them, but more to be like, oh, they're still at this place, or, oh, they're on their way home, you know, and then that can help me too. I have never had a situation where I've checked and been like, where are you? What are you doing? You're not where you said you were. So it's a bit of a loose boundary in the sense that like, they just have to give me an idea. They don't have to tell me exactly where they're going to be. You know, people's plans change. You don't have to tell me moment to moment where you are. Again, they are young adults. And so I trust that they are going to make the right decisions. And then the third part of that. So tuning in to know what you need, talking to other parties involved and setting those boundaries and understanding how you're going to set those boundaries. But then the third part of it is not to take it personal. Again, back to my oldest, when she came home at the end of freshman year, we had moved her bedroom. So we only have two bedrooms and my two younger ones were sharing for their whole lives. And so we gave her a little bit of time to come home to the old bedroom. But once she had some time, we moved her out to another room and the two of them split up. And the room is a little isolated, the room that she's in. And so for the first, gosh, it might've been two summers, or at least first summer and then a bunch of breaks, her moods were not great. And it's okay that I'm telling you this because she tells everybody too. We sort of finally figured out, it took us a while, but we finally figured out, oh, I'll tell you how we figured out, because I was sleeping. My husband was sick. And so I was sleeping in the room near her new bedroom and she was in a much better mood that break. And we realized, oh, some of the mood here is that this isn't her room. Like she didn't feel like she was coming home because it wasn't the room she grew up in. And it was not in a place that's like, you know, she doesn't get a lot of light. There's not a lot of action where she is. So it's a little isolated. And that felt not great to her. And so once we figured that out, we realized like, oh, okay, what can we do? Because this mood of yours isn't really good for any of the rest of us either, but we understand sort of why you're in it. So how can we do some things to make it feel a little bit better so that everybody is better here. The not taking it personal part of that was I 100% took it personal in the beginning. I thought, oh my gosh, she hates it here. She doesn't want to be home. She would tell me she wanted to be home, but then she would sort of act like she hated it here. So I of course took that personally in the beginning. I never said anything to her about that because, again, I do some things in parenting well, and that's one of them. I don't sort of share my junk with them if they don't need to do anything about it or feel like it's their junk. But I took it personally. I was like kind of heartbroken that she was in such a cranky mood when she got home because I thought she must hate it here. The second step of taking it personally was me thinking, oh my gosh, I moved her room and like ruined her life. You know, I had that mom guilt of I made this decision that I thought was the right decision and one of my kids isn't handling it well. And so that must be the wrong decision. Neither of those things are true. One, she didn't hate it here and it wasn't my fault even if she did. And two, the decision was the right decision for the family. And just because she sort of wasn't handling it perfectly, it didn't mean I should have gone back and changed the decision. So that emotional reaction of hers, I had to learn this isn't about me and there's nothing I can do to fix it, control it, or make her feel differently. I think sometimes as parents, we do that, especially with our young adult children. We try to talk them out of feeling a certain way, or we try to hurry along the feelings because we're uncomfortable with them. And in this case, I 100% did that at first, I'm sure, because I was uncomfortable. I didn't want her to feel that way. I wanted her to be happy and be home and, you know, love it. And I tried to show her all the reasons why that was not okay. When really, like, I can't change the way she feels. And all I was doing was invalidating the way she was feeling when it was really valid. And so I needed to step back and realize this isn't about you and it's not her job to make you feel better. So that's going to come up a lot for those of you who are welcoming college kids home. They are spreading their wings and trying on a whole bunch of new identity cloaks and you're just there to kind of witness it. It's not because they don't like their old identity cloaks. It's not because you didn't give them a great childhood. It's not because they don't love their home. It's because they're trying to figure out who they are now. And you are less a part of that than you were when they were 5, 6, 7, 8. Their identity is much more separate from yours than it ever used to be, including even just last school year. So don't take it personal when they don't want to spend time with you. Don't take it personal when they forget to call and tell you where they are. Don't take it personal when they're doing things that seem disrespectful, but in reality are probably just what they're used to have been doing all year. Have a conversation with them. If it's something that truly is you know, completely interrupting the dynamic of the home, have that conversation with them and remind them, hey, you live with us now. you're not totally on your own. So there are some things that we need here, you know, back to old chores or back to, you know, my middle one used to be the lawn mower. And we have since hired somebody to mow the lawn because we're like, they have a full-time job. There's no way they can also then make time. Or that's not true. They could make time to mow the lawn. We are choosing not to do that because it would probably lead to some fighting because we would be telling them how to spend their time. We have every right to do that, by the way. We have every right to say, you live here, you mow the lawn, just like I live here, I have to do the dishes, you know, whatever those are, things are. We're just choosing not to, and we can. We have that ability to be able to say, okay, somebody else can come mow the lawn so that we don't have to fight with this one on the few minutes they have free from their regular job to go out and mow our lawn. It's a choice. And it isn't one that everybody has to make, and nor is it one that everybody can make. There used to be years where we couldn't even make that choice. So, but that's a great example of what do we need? How can we get it and preserve the relationship that we have with them? They will walk the dog and do their own laundry still and empty trash some nights. Like there's going to be chores that are back into the house that they're still going to have to help us do because that's what you do when you live in a house, just like they did in their own room with their roommate. So there's some adaptations, there's some transitions. Take a minute for yourself to figure out what you need to feel okay or maybe what you can expect. You might not know. Like I said, I didn't expect that I was going to be worried about where my daughter was at all hours of the day or night. Sometimes you got to figure it out as you go, but be open to the possibility of having a conversation with them to say, hey, we didn't think this was going to be a big deal, but it is. So can you help us out by doing XYZ? All I had to ask her was, can you just let me know like where you think you're going to be and how late you think you're going to be? And she did. And for the most part, she stuck to it, or I felt okay enough that I fell asleep and didn't notice anyway. So I'm just being honest. Like, I don't know if she was always in when she said she was going to be in, but she was in enough that I felt okay falling asleep when she was out, and that was okay. So knowing yourself, knowing what you need, or adapting as you feel like you need it in the moment and having the conversation with them, how do you set the boundaries to feel okay for yourself and also to preserve the relationship with your kid? And I know on boundaries, we've talked before about how they're not always going to be relationship preservers, because those are generally speaking with peers and or adults, you know, like parents or family members that are adults. When you're talking about your own kid, I use the term boundaries instead of the term rules to hopefully shift your mind to thinking, okay, this is what it takes to live in this house. And it's not, this is what I'm imposing on you, kid, because you live here. So there's a subtle difference, but it's enough difference that it really helps the two of you maintain a nice relationship. And it always helps to go back and be thinking, like, what do I want my relationship with this person to be? Do I want to be the taskmaster? Do I want to be the rule creator? Do I want to be the warden? Or do I want to have a somewhat mutually respectful relationship? And I say somewhat because you're still the parent in some ways. You know, you're never going to be peers, but it can, you know, but this is a growing adult. And so recognizing that and recognizing their independence and freedom that they've just had, and trying to preserve that, the sort of dignity of that as they come back in under your roof, and keeping your own self sane in the process. And then don't take it personally when it doesn't work, because I can tell you all these things: prepare for it, think of your boundaries, set your boundaries, be clear and consistent and precise. And there's still going to be times where you think, this kid, this person, this, you know, ungrateful brat, whatever you think, you're still going to have moments like that. And they're still going to have moments to be like, I can't believe my idiot parents are making me do this. I can't wait to go back to college. I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait to get a job and move away. You know, you thought it when you were a kid. Your kids are thinking it too, no matter how great a job you do. Don't take that personally. And just continue to be clear and open and not afraid to repair a relationship, you know, fracture if it happens. And continue to remind yourself, like, this is what I want. I want to have an adult relationship with these people. And so how do I do that? It's not easy. Let me tell you, I will be sending you all kinds of love and good vibes as you do it, because it's not easy, but it is doable. And gosh, the payoff is so sweet. So hang in there, moms of young adults. You got this. And I will be on Instagram frequently with love notes for you when you need them most. Thanks for listening. Hey, welcome to the Me Time segment for this episode of I Wonder. So I just have one thing today. Well, two things really, but one actual recommendation. And it's not an ad, I swear. It's just something we use. I talked a lot about having to cook for people when they come home. And one of the things that I return to when my children come home from school is the HelloFresh delivery service. And specifically HelloFresh, because it seems to have the most, like, generally acceptable meals. And I'm a foodie. I love to try all different things. My kids, not so much. So this one's kind of a crowd pleaser, meat and potatoes. That said, they have all kinds of different options, vegan and gluten-free and all of that. And one thing they've added that I really like is that you can add on extra, like, proteins and sides and things. So they, for instance, I subscribe to a 4-serving plan, and there's 5 of us. So I oftentimes will add an extra chicken breast or an extra whatever piece of fish or something. Or what I've done in the past is go out and buy, like, you know, 5 individually wrapped chicken breasts, and then I can just add one every time we have that as a meal. Or they have other things that you can do that don't have, like, specific serving sizes. And there's plenty of food for 5 people. So that's HelloFresh. And I think I've tried them all, and that is the one that I come back to all the time. And no matter what your lifestyle, they have that type of food as well. And then the other thing, I was just going to talk about some TV shows, because one of the things we do love to do when everybody's home occasionally, not always, is sit around and watch a show that we love. I always take for granted that people know these, but I was just with some girlfriends the other day who do not know the show New Girl, which if you ever see me on social media, you see me talking about it frequently. But if you don't know me on social media, or you haven't ever seen it, it's just hilarious. I think it's from the early 2000s, maybe like the 2010s, early 2010s sitcom. It doesn't even matter if I tell you who's in it, because it doesn't matter. It's an ensemble show. It is hilariously funny. It's completely outrageous. So if you don't love, like, stupid humor, it's not for you. But it's a great thing to watch with your kids, because it is, it
with your older children, it can be a little bawdy sometimes, but nothing too over the top and nothing that makes anybody uncomfortable. And it's hilarious and it makes us laugh all the time. So New Girl, if you want to watch some shows with your kids, and HelloFresh, if you want to feed them when they're home from college. All right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Thank you for joining us on I Wonder, Getting Curious with Dr. Christy Ritz-King. Don't forget to subscribe for more episodes and leave us a review to share your thoughts. We'll see you next time. Until then, stay curious.